Danny, thank you so much. I really think the Lord has really spoken through you this morning, and we need to hear that, didn't we? We all, this church is a great church. They have hearts, and the message this morning is about hearts, and I'm going to try to give you the Reader's Digest version this morning, but, you know, take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 5, but Danny, I want you to know that I believe this church is not done yet with this project. I just know them enough to know that I could hear them almost right, and you know the things going on in the mind, so I could hear it. We got to pray about this. We got to stay in tune with this, don't we? Don't you think we should? The great needs, and I tell you, it's appropriate that this message. We've been in the Beatitudes and the attitudes that we ought to have that Christ gave us, and He taught His disciples these attitudes. And today was number 6. Which I think is the most important attitude of all of them. Matthew 5, verse 8, look at it. There's 11 words here. You don't have to stand for the leading. God will understand this morning, but blessed are the pure in heart. For what happens to the pure in heart? They shall see God. Danny, you've helped us see God this morning. That's the God we serve. He's a God that cares. He cares about these people. And we know there's much more to be done. So that's what we're going to be praying about. What is the much more we can do as a church? Thank you so much. It's a blessing to us. Thank you for coming. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That verse really says, if you take it down word by word, what it actually means. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they and only they shall see God. That's the proper construction of that sentence. Let's pray before we begin. Lord Jesus, I'm so thankful for how You care about all of us and Your people and the people everywhere in Tennessee, North Carolina. And all the places, Lord, that are devastated, and so many things going on, and the planes that crashed this past week, the hearts that are broken. Over 800 times in Your Word, You say the word heart, Lord. It's all about the heart. And this morning, I pray as we focus on our own hearts, that You'll speak to us in a special way. And thank You for all the people. I'm from the South, Lord, and I'm a little prejudiced there. All those godly people that are working this very moment, helping their brothers and their sisters rebuild and pray and weep for the loss. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When your heart is pure, you'll be able to see God. Wow. Don't we all want to see God? But see, God made us in His image. And that's what we saw this morning. His image. It was the joy of every Jewish man or woman to see God. See, the ultimate destination is for you and I to see God. But He has a prerequisite here. Who sees God? The pure in heart. See, it's really all about the heart this morning and next week and the week after that. And that is, it never ends. It always is about the heart. The word pure in heart means without alloy, without any mixture. Jesus used these special 11 words here for a reason. He said there's no alloy. The term there was used to describe an army that had no cowards in it. A lot of brave people in North Carolina and Tennessee right now, and in Philadelphia and other places. Hearts that are pure. Let me ask you, is there any one of us that could say that all my life I've been good? Never said one thing and meant another. I've never done an act of kindness that wasn't really an expression of my heart. I've never given a compliment that I really didn't mean. Wow. I've never said a word that thought, done a deed that wasn't pure. Could anyone say that? I don't think so. I know I can't. But the truth is, all of us have regrets. All of us have remorse. We all have failures of the heart. And you know what? Jesus cares about that. All of us have things that we wish we could change. And all of us have some guilt and that God wants us to deal with in our life. You can repress it. You can blame others for your guilt and your shortcomings. You can rationalize your guilt. You will still feel the effects of your guilt. Now, guilt is what keeps you stuck in the past. Guilt will keep you from being all that God wants you to be. When you come to the place that you have dealt with all of your guilt, you will come to an understanding of Psalm 32. You don't have to turn there, but verse 1 and 2 says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Why? Because the Lord does not impute iniquity, in whose spirit there is no deceit. When you come to the place that you're willing to deal with all of who you are, God will reveal all of who He is. The pure in heart are those that will see God. See, there's someone here this morning that hasn't seen God yet and needs to see Him. Well, you've seen a glimpse this morning already. Earlier, I told you God gives the precepts in the beginning of Matthew chapter 5, and later on He gives the principles in chapters 6 and 7. And I don't know, I'm praying about this, but we've got two more Beatitudes, but there's still a part of the Sermon on the Mount, and I'm not sure we're going to go there yet, but pray about that with me if you would. Maybe we need to go there. But look at Matthew chapter 6 for just a moment, if you're there. Look at verse 22 and 23, and Jesus is speaking, and He says, "The lamp of the body is the eye. And if therefore your eye be single, if it be good, if your eye's good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye be bad," meaning evil, "if your eye is evil, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, oh, how great is that darkness." Don't you think our country needs some light? Don't you need, we have so many needs. We need more light. Now watch this. Jesus said, "When your heart is pure, your eye is full of light, and it's single, it's focused. And when your eye is full of light, you're able to see. But if there's sin in your life, there is going to be darkness in your life. And it will affect how you see." You know, you can look at my wife. I can look at your wife and guess by looking at them, we can see sometimes by the countenance on her face how you treat her, Dad, some days. Now, if she's not sick, my wife's sick a lot, so don't judge me this morning. Are you sick, hon? Okay, oh, watch your countenance. By the countenance on her face, you can tell how I treat her. And she'll tell you it's true. I've been there. You can look at some people and look at, they look so dark and so dismal. Rings under their eyes. But they're sick. That's a different thing. But it says something about their life. And Jesus said, when your heart is not pure, your eye is not single, it's not good, and therefore your body is not full of light. Jesus is saying you need to be single focus, because that is what your eye sees. Did you know some people have trained their eyes to see things that other people don't see? You know, I had a friend up in Pennsylvania when I was very young, and we used to go pheasant hunting together. But we'd be riding down the road, and he'd say, "See, oh, look at that buck over there. He's got the 2 points on him." I'm looking over there. There's 10 deer way off of there, but I couldn't see any of them. Some people train their eyes to see things that we don't see. Has it ever happened to you? Some people are, even Jesus is saying, he's saying some people see things that other people don't see. Some people look at the Word of God and see what others don't see. I read that 100 times. Right, Jim? I read that. I never saw that before. You ever done that? Man, God opens up the Word of God to you sometimes. I never saw that before. Two people can be sitting in a worship service, and one of them can say, I saw the Lord today. This was great. And the other one says, boy, I was glad that's over. That preacher was so boring. One man said amen. The other one said, so what? Trained. We train ourselves to do that. Did you know that? Some of it has to do with training, and some of it has to do with our hearts. Hearts need to be pure. That's why Jesus went to the cross. Here's what we need to learn today. I think we need to know why and how hearts become pure according to Jesus. And I'm going to give you 3 points, and I'm going to try to make it short. The first point is this, is the reason for purity. The second one is the requirement for purity, and the third is the result of purity. Number one, why does God want you pure? It's because of what sin does to you. It's because guilt hurts you. See, God knows that guilt is going to hurt you, and God wants you pure. What does guilt do? It does 3 things. It causes us to flee. It will cause you to hide. And when you have sin in your life, and you're surely not looking for Jesus, no, more than a criminal looks for a policeman. You don't want to talk to Jesus. You don't want to be around God's people. You don't want to be around the church. Why? Because it makes you feel guilty. Uncomfortable. Where the Word of God is preached, if you have sin in your life, guess what? You're going to be uncomfortable. Feel guilty. See, the Holy Spirit did some work this morning on all of our hearts, including mine. Says, Richard, you need to do some more about this situation. You thought you were finished. You're just beginning. We need to work on this. God's people are there. And there's some are not God's people that need to become God's people. They need to see God. They need to get pure hearts. Guilt will cause you to flee and to hide. Stop coming to church. You know, have you ever heard of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle? What did he do? Anybody know? He wrote what? Sherlock Holmes. Sharon and I, we watch a lot of those. I don't know why we like these dark stories. But he was a prankster. And he played pranks on 5 of the most prominent men in England. And back in those days, you sent a messenger out to send a message. And he sent 5 messages out to 5 of the most prominent people, men in England. And you know what it said? Here's all it said. No signature. All is found out. Flee at once. All is found out. Flee at once. And all 5 of those men left England. And this is a true story. Boy, I bet they got him when he got him. Do you know guilt will do that to you? No man is free who drags his own chains with him. It's like a cloud that over your head. And when you're guilty, you're always looking over your shoulder to be found out. Guilt causes you to hide. You know what else it does? Number 2, it will cause you to fear. Those guys had fear in their hearts. That's why they left. Fear causes you to respond in ways you wouldn't usually respond. Well, if we hadn't moved here, Sharon and I have talked about this. Well, if we hadn't moved here, this wouldn't have happened. And guilt takes over. Whose fault was it? Sharon says, quit telling me who's at fault. I'm always trying to figure out, well, whose fault is it? Is it my fault? She says, look, just forget about the fault. It will cause you to hide. And another thing, it will cause you to fail. Why? Because it will cause you to fail because you will always live in the past. Living in the past is like driving down the road and always looking in the rearview mirror. You know, if you keep looking in the rearview mirror, you're going to have an accident. You can't keep looking back. It's good for perspective once in a while to look there because you need to know a little bit if the guy's, you know, right on your tail. I hate that when they do that, don't you? He's in a big hurry to get nowhere because he may not even make it the way he's driving. But the problem is you can't go forward while you're looking backwards. And that's what guilt does. It gets you stuck in the past. Guilt can never change the past any more than worry can change the future. So it shouldn't surprise you what Jesus' next words are here in Matthew. Look at 6 again, verse 25. And he said this, "Take no thought for what you eat or drink, nor about your body, what you will put on for tomorrow." Because Jesus knows that worry for the future and trying to be guilty for the past will never change anything. Listen, if you don't talk to God about your guilt, you will take it out on yourself and other people. Let me ask you a question. Is there anywhere in the Bible that you can find an illustration that says that guilt will cause you to hide? Cause you to blame because you live in the past? Yes, it's pretty early on. How about Genesis chapter 3, verse 10? It's the first hint. And then verse 12, it says, well, what happened when Adam and Eve first sinned in Genesis chapter 3, verse 10? It says, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, God. I was fearful because I was naked. And I was living in the past, and I hid myself." Look at verse 12. Adam said, "The woman you gave me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." Now he's blaming. "I wouldn't have this food addiction. It's your fault. I wouldn't be going through this depression. It's your fault. It's what my parents did to me 25, 35 years ago. It's their fault." No. Accept responsibility for your own sin. "It's not my brother. It's not my sister. It's not me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer." Look, we're talking about a pure heart this morning. God wants a pure heart. So what? So you can do what? Are you here? See God. Well, that's the reason for purity. What about the requirements for purity? I want to give you 5 steps real quick that will help you be clean. Real helpful, real practical steps if you want to let go of your guilt. And here's number one. Assess your own spiritual faith. What's the Bible say? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. What's that mean? At some point in time, you must get alone and take an inventory, a list of why you're feeling guilty. Sin brings guilt. What do I regret in my life? What in my life do I need to change? And you ask the Lord Jesus to bring to your mind the things that you need to change. Do you know people don't change very easy? Just remember this. God turns the heat up sometimes so you'll change. Change when it's not so hot. There's a whole lot better way of doing it. Take your time and write them down. But when you do this, you will come to an understanding of what Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 40 means. You don't have to turn there. I'll give it to you. Lamentations 3:40 says, "Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back." You know, when you say in the Bible, when it talks about turning, it's always talking about repentance. Turn back to the Lord, and when you do that, you will want to do what verse 41 says. In verse 41, "Let us lift our hearts and hands to God in heaven." Repentance brings joy. Did you know that? When you turn God's way toward God and away from your way, it brings rejoicing. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 4 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me and the way of everlasting. And when you sit there, you will do a spiritual inventory of your own life. And you can ask yourself, is everything right between myself and my Savior? Let's stop right here. Can you say today, Pastor, in my life, there's no one that I have offended, that I have not asked forgiveness for, and there's no one that has offended me that I have not forgiven? Can you say that? Well, here's step two. I accept responsibility for my faults. Listen to this statement. The greatest holdup in my healing of my hang-ups is me. Hello? It starts with being radically honest. I am the problem. It's my job. Changing churches won't help it. Because wherever I go, I'm still there. You face it. You don't minimize it. You don't water it down. You don't deny it. If you want to stop defeating yourself, stop deceiving yourself. 1 John 1:8 says this. I know you know what John 1:9 says. 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive who? Ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Question, what is it that today you're pretending not to feel guilty about? And you know in your heart, you really, really do feel guilty. Accept responsibility. That's number three. Ask God for forgiveness. Do you remember in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to do what? To forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. Hey, what are we looking for this morning? A pure heart. To cleanse us from our unrighteousness. Part of our unrighteousness? No, all of it. Aren't you glad that Jesus died for all? And all of my sin and all your, not just half of it. What if He just did 90%? We'd be in a heck of a mess. Heaven is a pure and perfect place. We'd never make it. Ask God for forgiveness. Now listen, when you are asking God for forgiveness, some things you do not do. Do not beg for your forgiveness. God, please, please. You know, God has already sent His Son to the cross for you. It's done. It's a done thing. Don't bargain with God. Now, God, if you do this, I'll do that. That's not the way it works. Just believe Him. Lord, You said if I confess my sins, You would forgive me of my sins. And that's what I'm going to do. The word confess in the Greek means to speak the same thing, to agree with. God, You said it. I agree with it. Let's put it under Your precious blood. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 brings us into focus. He says, you know what it says? It says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be white as wool. And number four, admit my faults. Don't you love to do that? Admit my faults to one person. Do you know, to one other person. Pastor, where is that in the Bible? Okay, James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be what? Healed. Spiritually healed. Do you want to be healthy spiritually this morning? The Holy Spirit made it pretty clear in James chapter 5. See, God knows that we wear masks, not just at COVID time. We deceive ourselves and we ask like we have it all together and we act that way, but we don't have it all together. There's something, some things about having a close friend to share your faults. See, I'm just as sick as my secrets. How many of you have a really close friend that would just, I mean, I'm talking about a bosom friend that you can just tell them anything and they'll keep a secret. And they'll pray for you. That's the kind of friend you need to go to. That's the kind of friend you need to have. He says we're to reason together. We're to find a trustworthy or worthy friend. It has to be someone that you trust. Someone that's mature. Someone, you know, if you've got a friend that'll talk about somebody else to you, he'll talk about you to somebody else. Someone that'll hold you accountable. And the fifth step, and it's the last one, the fifth step is that we accept God's forgiveness and then we forgive ourselves. You know, some people have accepted forgiveness, but they just haven't forgiven themselves. I thought I'd done that. I went to a counseling session, shared up in the mountains one. I didn't know I was going there, but I did. And I had a girl that I'd prayed for, a friend of my daughter, and she became a counselor, and she took me aside, and she helped heal some wounds in my life. Somebody has paid for your sin, and his name is Jesus. Jesus Christ paid for your sins on the cross. And he's standing ready this morning to forgive you. He's right here. And he forgives three different ways. You got a few more minutes? I don't know what time it is. Three ways. He does it freely. God is joyful, overjoyed to forgive you. He does it fully and completely. Not just some of your sins, but all of your sins. And those are the requirements for being pure. Well, what's the reality as I close? Blessed are the pure in heart, Jesus said. The result is that they would see God. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 4, 6 and 18. I just want to show you these real quick, these three things. We're going to see two things. Look at verse 4, Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says, that your charitable deed may be in secret. You don't have to tell all your neighbors we're going down to Tennessee. They'll find out. God will tell them. But we don't have to stand up like the Pharisees, do we? He who sees in secret, it says, will himself reward you openly. And you're being rewarded today. Thank you. Thank you for sharing with us. Look at verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in a secret place, and your Father who sees in a secret place will reward you openly. Boy. Danny, God has some things for you in the future. Not all work. There's going to be some rewards. Look at verse 18. So that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. The first thing that you will see God is to do is you would see God and reward you openly, and He's going to reward you Himself. Notice the progression here. He was talking about the Pharisees who loved to give out in the open so everybody would see them. It was all about them. They loved to pray where people would see them pray, and they loved to fast and make their faces all mess. Oh, and they were in so much pain. They loved to show everybody, but you know what? They didn't have pure hearts about it. But there's a Father in secret. And the good news, that's the good news, but the bad news is, the good news is God knows you. The bad news is He knows everything about you. And everything you do in secret, God still knows. And God says, when your heart is pure, no mixture, no stuff, God says, I will reward you and I will do it openly. And there's always grace that comes with true humility. And humility always has to come before honor. Did you know that? And when you come to the place of true confession, God says, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to do it openly, and He's going to reward you openly. And lastly, we close Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Musicians, if you'll come, we're going to sing Take My Life and Lead Me, Lord, number 540. Thank you for listening. Thank you so much again, Danny, for coming, sharing, and helping us to see God. Come.
You'll please stand for our invitations.